It is my honor and privilege to introduce to you Reverend Felicia Hopkins. There are two kinds of people in this world, those that have heard Felicia and those that should have heard Felicia. Felicia began her career as an executive with Pepsi and then moved on to work with Walmart. But she decided along the way that there was more, that God had a calling on her life. And so her friends, thinking she had completely lost her mind, she stepped away from an executive corporate life and entered ministry. She began at St. Mark's in El Paso, Texas, part of a pastoral team that took a small country cotton patch church and transformed it into the largest church in the New Mexico Conference. During this time, September 11th happened. Felicia is also a retired major in the U.S. Army as a chaplain, and she was called by her nation to serve, leaving her two infant sons for 14 months. One of her sons today, Adam, joins us. These were moments that try a person's soul. Felicia did, as she always does, was able to shine through and bless others with hope. The record of these 14 months is captured in her book, Halfway Home, which is a bestseller. Look it up on Amazon. It captures the reality of what being a mom, a pastor, and a soldier also mean. Felicia today is a nationally sought speaker. I had a friend describe her not as a preacher, but as a force of nature. So prepare yourself. And there's probably one last little caveat I should throw out. I was blessed to serve with Felicia for 10 years, and she introduced me on a blind date to my wife. Amen. So whatever you need, Felicia will provide.
Oh, my God, my God, my God. Wow. Before I begin, there are a few things I'd like to do and to say. First of all, I'd like to extend my sincere gratitude to Dr. Walker for giving me this time in his pulpit this morning as we remember 9/11, to all of the distinguished people that are on the dais this morning, to the chief. Thank you for all that you do, you serve, and not just you, but the men and women who serve under you. You are so appreciated. And then to Don, he's left the dais, but you know, there are always men and women that serve graciously for the president, and it is their service. Sometimes we don't know anything about what they do, but it is their service that keeps us the greatest country on the face of this earth, and so we thank you for your long and trusted service as well. I don't know if they intended for me not to see the clock, meaning that I could go as long as I want, but I'm just gonna tell you up front, I can't see it. So either one of those people in the pew, you know who you are, when it gets about 10 minutes to 11 or 12, you need to be doing the flip-flop to let me know to stop. At my church, they put a big clock up in the balcony and it counts backwards so I don't go over. But I just want to share with you just briefly this morning from the Word of God. I asked Pastor Kurt, you know, Kurt is, I have to call him Pastor Kurt because I'm upper, but he's like my little brother, if you can imagine such a thing. And we served together for over 10 years. And I am just so proud of him and all that he has done and all that he has been to the United Methodist Church. And I love you. I do. And yeah. So if you have your Bibles, they told you I was coming, and hopefully they told you to bring your Bible to church. It is an admonishment that I have made from the pulpit for over 24 years. Bring your Bible to church. Why? What else are you going to do with it? You know, and nowadays it's free. I mean, I remember back in the days when you had to go to Sam's and buy a Bible for $30, or you had to go to a Christian bookstore. Now you can download your Bible for free on your phone. So, do you have a phone? Let me see. You got a phone out there? Come on. Y'all ain't got no phone over here? No. You in church now. Come on. So if you don't have it, I tell you that you do have it. You just haven't downloaded the free app as of yet. So if you have it, if you would run quickly with me to the Old Testament book of Daniel, a story, a tale that we may have heard before. And I want to read from you beginning in the third chapter, Daniel 3. I can't read all of it. We don't have time. But we'll read from verses 12 through 18. Old Testament, Bible divided into two different books, Old and New. Old Testament, the foundation of our soul and of our faith. We go to the book of the prophet Daniel. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. If your neighbor doesn't have it, you help her. And you ensure that your children see the word as well. So hear now these words from the Word of God. I'll be reading from the NRSV if my translation is a little bit different from yours. There were certain Jews whom had appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These pay no heed to you, O king. They do not serve your gods, and they do not worship the golden statue that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, and you do not worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn and the sound of the pipe, the lyre, the tigrin, the harp, the drum, and the entire musical ensemble, to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God, little g, that will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to prevent a defense to you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let us bow our heads for a quick word of prayer as we begin. So Father God, even now in this place, allow your spirit to fall down and to rest on us, to clear our minds of the cares of the world, to be focused on nobody but you, Jesus. You, our Lord and our Savior. Father God, hide me behind the cross. Crack me open. Make me not visible. And speak your word through me. Speak so that the youngest to the oldest may hear and comprehend the miracles of God. Father God, now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable first and foremost to you, and then to these who have gathered here, your beloved. I bind the work of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. It is hard for a preacher to preach this text because all of you who've ever been to Sunday school already think you know what I'm going to say. Don't check out just yet. It is a tale that is ripe with hope, but fear, with obedience, with leadership. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had risen through the ranks, and now they were upper management, if you will. But they believed in the God of Israel. They did not believe in the idol gods in the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had written a statue and said, every time this statue comes by, you ought to stop what you're doing and to bow down and to pray to it. But they had made up in their mind a long time ago that they were not going to pray to an idol god. So you know how it is. You supposed to do something and you don't do it. There's always somebody tattling on you. So they run back to the king and they say, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't bow down to your statue, O king. What you gonna do? The king, furious and rage, I'm the king, beating on his chest, I can only imagine, says, bring them to me. He brings them to him. And he gives them one last try, so he thinks. And I love what they say. They say, well, no, we're not gonna bow down. And if God delivers us, so be it, okay. But if he doesn't deliver us, we're gonna serve him anyhow. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been afraid of anything? You can raise your hand. That'll get you woke for about 20 more minutes. Have you ever been afraid of anything? We're all afraid of something. That's the truth. Some of us, I'm getting older. I'm not that old. I look good, I know, but I'm getting older. Some of us are afraid of death. I've lost 3 very good friends this year alone, all younger than 50 years old. Some of us are afraid of heights. You know, we don't want to go up high. Some don't even want to fly in a plane. Some of us are afraid of being poor and being broke. I grew up in poverty. I know what it's like to have a peanut butter and banana sandwich. I know what it's like to take 2 pieces of bread and put them together and put some sugar and butter in between and pretend like there's meat in there. I know what it's like to wear the same pair of shoes over and over and over again. You have to take a piece of cardboard and slide it down on the inside. Some of us are afraid of being exposed. You know, like in church, when you come to church and you put on that church face and everybody says, oh, how are you doing? Oh, bless, glory, thank you, Jesus. And you just cussed out your kids in the car. But I'm fine. Oh, how is this? All good. Some of us are afraid of being criticized, and some of us are afraid of being replaced. But we are all afraid of something. Her name was Hetty Green, and she had a son. Her son broke his arm. I saw a little girl with a broken arm and a pink cast on. He broke his arm. And she said, no, we'll just fix it at home because it costs too much to go to the doctor. Weeks went by and the arm never got well. She finally rushes into the emergency room. She gets there and the poison has already gone all through his body. He dies. The problem with the story is that when she died with $100 million, but she did not want to spend any money for fear of being broke. We are all afraid of something. And what I know about fear, I'm leaving here, what I know about fear is that there are 2 different types of fear. There is the fear that's good. You know what I mean? Good fear. Good fear. The Bible tells us that we ought to fear the Lord. That's good fear. But then there's that bad fear, that fear that paralyzes you and makes you immobile. You can't get out of your bed. You can't move. You can't think. You can't even make the right kinds of decisions. It's the fear that gripped the people in 9/11 while they were on the inside of the building and they heard the other building fall down. It was the fear of their life that caused them to run, and some of them to run the wrong way, some to run up instead of down. It was fear. It's fear when we look at our checkbooks and we wonder how we're going to make it to the end of the month, even though we're supposed to be middle class. It's fear. Fear. It's a dirty 4-letter word. So quickly this morning, with the time that I have left, I want to ask you a question. How do you get over the bad? kind of fear. How? What do you do with that fear when you don't know what's going to happen next? What do you do with it? Well, we look at the text and there is a blueprint in there for what you do when you and I are so afraid. It's real simple. First of all, you have to admit that you're afraid. You know the people, I'm not afraid of anything. I like to tell the story. I was a paratrooper in the Army, and I was young and dumb and decided that I wanted to jump out of perfectly good airplanes more than once. And so on my last jump, I'm sitting next to a guy. First jump, I'm sitting next to a guy, and I say to him, are you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. I said, well, I'm really afraid. I said, you're not afraid? No, I ain't afraid. And then the jump master said, stand up, hook up, shuffle to the door. You know, and you don't jump out, they just throw you out. And I went out, and we were taught to jump up and out, you know, to jump up and away and out, and then count to 10 and pull your ripcord. And the guy behind me, he was so busy not being afraid, he forgot to jump out, up and out. He hit his head on the side of the plane. He landed splat, broke his collarbone, fractured his legs, ruptured his spleen. I said, yeah, that's what you get for not being afraid. We are all afraid of something, and there comes a point in time in our life where we have to stand in front of the mirror and look ourselves in the eye and admit that we are afraid. We don't know what is going to come next, and we say things like, Lord, I am afraid because I don't know how long I'm going to have this job. I thought that it was going to be forever. The oil was coming over and over and over again, and now it seems like it's dried up. I am afraid. Lord, I'm afraid because I'm older and now I'm pregnant and now I have to go to bed and it's only in my 26th week and I'm not sure what's going to happen and now I have gestational diabetes. I am afraid. I'm afraid because the children that I raised in my own house are now speaking to me in a manner that I never spoke to my parents. I am afraid. You got to look yourself in the mirror and admit, what is it I am afraid of? If I had time, I'd tell you to get out a sheet of paper and write, I am afraid of blank. Just admit it and write it out. So they had to admit, because I'm telling you, they already knew that the furnace, that you could see the flames coming out of the furnace. The Bible tells us that the flames were turned up 7 times higher than they had already been. They were just coming out at them. You know that they must have been afraid. But even in the middle of their fear, they did not panic. Number one, admit that you are afraid of And then after you admit that you're afraid of it, you have to be willing as a Christian to strengthen and encourage yourself in the Word of God. Why? Because the Word speaks over 200 times the word fear, and it speaks over 65 times why we should not be afraid. It says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. It says that you ought not be afraid. Why? Yes, because God is with you. Do not be afraid. Why? Because there is more with you than is against you. Be not afraid. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Be not afraid. Encourage yourself in the word. You can go to Psalms 119 and it tells you everything you need to know about the Word of God. See, the power isn't in me saying don't be afraid, and the power isn't in me. The power is in the Word of God. Why? Because God said that fear is a spirit. It tells you in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. What does it say? That fear is a spirit. And so when it's a spirit, you have to fight it in a religious and a spiritual kind of way. You have to take the Word of God with you everywhere you go, and you got to begin to lean and depend on what is in this Word right here. Quit cutting on the TV and watching them crazy shows of people taking your money trying to tell you how to fight your problem. We are Christians, and we fight our problems with the power of God. We fight our problems in the Word of God. We stand on the Word, and we are encouraged by it. We're reminded of David when he lost his wife and his children, and he just took his own hand and patted himself on the back and encouraged himself in the Lord. If you are afraid, be encouraged by the word of God. The word that says God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Be encouraged, all right? Admit that you are afraid. Look here, Lord. I don't know where I'm going to get the next job from, and I'm really afraid. I want to write that check to the church, but I'm afraid because I don't know where the money's going to come from. But Lord, I'm standing on the word. I'm standing on the word that says that you will open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing so large I cannot receive it. I am encouraged in your word. And then here's what you do. You run to the roar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could see the furnace, but they had to make a decision what they were going to do. And I think what they did was they ran to the roar. What do I mean? There's a story I was reading the other day, and it says that the lion is the head of the jungle. And that he comes out with his mane, and he stands with his chest out, and he puts his leg forward, and he roars. And everybody who hears him roar starts shaking. And if they're close enough to him, they look at him, and then what do? They turn around and they run in the opposite direction away from the roar. But here's the problem. The lioness is behind them, and she is the one who devours. Check it out. We see something that we are afraid of, and we turn and go in the opposite direction. But God is calling us today to run to the roar. There was a man, he said he was on the 61st floor, and he said that he was in the bathroom, and as he was in the bathroom on 9/11, everything began to collapse around him, and he went outside, and he got his friends, and they began to go all the way down the staircase, and as they were going down the staircase, they had to stop every now and then. Why? Because they saw policemen and officers and EMT people running into the disaster. They were going to save. They weren't running away. They were brave. They were afraid, but they still ran into the building to get other people out. I'm here to tell you today, you've got to do something, and you've got to do something different. You've got to turn around, and you've got to face your fear and run right into it. They said, look here, King, it doesn't matter how high the fire is. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't even matter if my God rescues me, because I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to the roar. Run to the roar. Run to the thing that you're afraid of. Take somebody else with you. You've got to go in faith. And I'm almost through, because somebody in the back was waving their hand. Here's the most important part. Two things. In order to run to the roar, you have to be prayed up. And that's our problem. When things get bad, we don't have time for God anymore. When things get bad, we just get up and hit the floor and keep on running. And we want to know why we're not strong and why we don't feel anything on the inside. We want to know why we go to church and we come in and walk out the exact same way. Because we personally are not working on our relationship with God. We're not calling him up and telling him what we want. The Bible says that God hears us when we call. It says that we ought to call him in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. It says you have not because you ask not. So as you're trying to run into the roar, know that you won't do it if you're afraid and you don't have the Spirit of God built up on the inside of you. I wish I had a plug around here somewhere. There's a plug right over here. I'm afraid to unplug it because I'd have to crawl over there and you guys wouldn't like that. But here's the point. As long as that plug is connected, there's power to all this instrumentation up here. But if I get down there and crawl and unplug that plug, nothing will work. And that's what happens in our life. Satan knows that if he can separate us from our time and our devotion and our prayer life, that he has us, because we are fighting without the weapon that God gave us. We have to be prayed up. We have to run to the roar, admit that we are afraid, and then finally throw your butt into it. Throw your butt into it. What? Did she say that at First United Methodist in Midland? Dr. Walker? Did you hear what she just said? She said, throw your butt into it. Read the text. It says it doesn't matter if God comes. It doesn't matter if I get a new job. It doesn't matter if my marriage goes south. It doesn't matter if my child doesn't talk to me. It doesn't matter, because no matter what happens, I will have faith in God. But, O Nebuchadnezzar, I will not deny my God. Sometimes you come to a place in your life where you got to throw that conjunction, that but into it, and you have to hook the thing that you're afraid of to God. And you say, Lord, I'm afraid of losing my job, but I'll still praise you. Lord, I'm afraid of what's happening in my life, but I'll still tell people how good you've been to me. Lord, I don't know what's going on, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here, but I'm still going to call on your name, but I'm still going to fall on my knees, but I'm still going to hold my head high. Sometime you got to throw your butt into it. The Bible says to have faith in God. It says if you have faith in God that you can speak to the mountains and the mountains will be moved. If you have faith in God, you can speak in such a way and you can command the powers of heaven to answer you. Yeah, that's good preaching. But she don't know what I'm going through. That's good preaching. They all say that. My son Adam's standing against that wall because that's what he does in church. He's 18, soon to be 19 years old. And he's going to hate that I'm going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. When he was 3 months old, he was diagnosed with a terminal disease called Alexander's, a leukodystrophy, like muscular dystrophy, meaning that he had leukofatty acids secreting in his brain. And they said that they would overtake his brain and he would die in less than 2 years. They said, well, if he lived to be two, he'd be a vegetable. And then he might live to be seven. And if he was seven, he would live to be 14. And if he was 14, they didn't really know, because the longest living survivor had lived to be 27 years old. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Because sometimes you can't fix it. And sometimes you get sick and tired of calling out to God. So then you've got to get up and put your faith to work. You got to look at the thing that's standing in front of you that you're afraid of. And you got to say, God, whether I die trying or not, I'm going through. The old people used to say, I'm going through. Doesn't matter what others may do. Why? Because I love Jesus and I'm going through. You got to have faith. Say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm going to obey you. Lord, I'm going to stand when no one else stands. Put your butt. It can't be that easy. Oh, yes, it can. You got to get out of the driver's seat. You have to stop thinking that you... I'm ready to preach and it's 5 minutes to 12. Here's the deal. If you could have fixed it by now, you would have. If you could have fixed it by now, you surely would have fixed the problem. You would have fixed it. The fear would have disappeared, but you cannot fix it. You need a higher power, and his name is Jesus, Lord God Almighty. So here's what I'm going to do on my way to my seat, because I don't have anything else to tell you. Admit that you're afraid. I can't imagine being taken to a designated location and not being to be with your family, wondering what's going to happen the next day in America. We hear about the terrorists and we become afraid. Yes, 3,000, more than 3,000 people lost their life that day. But thousands more lived. Ask yourself, what is it I'm afraid this week? Write it down. Speak it out loud in the mirror. Open your Bible, go in the back to the concordance and find every scripture that talks about whatever it is that's bothering you. Write it down and begin to say those Bible verses out loud every day. Then run to the roar. Look your fear dead in the eye and say, I come in the name of Jesus. And if I perish, let me perish. But if not, I give God all the glory. Because it's not about me. It's all about him. So as we remember 9/11, as we remember how far God has brought us from, we give him praise and honor and thanksgiving, but we have to remember we still have a ways to go. We still live in the best country on the face of this earth. And we're not running from anybody. We're running right to the roar. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. Don't worry about your kids. They'll be all right. If you lose them, somebody will bring them back. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Don't worry about your pocketbook. Think of that thing that has been weighing you down. Put it right there. Put it right there in the front of your brain, right here. And then say in your soul, my hope is in God. My hope is in Jesus. I fear not. Father God, for every eye and every head that is bowed in this auditorium this morning, I ask you to come and to bind the spirit of fear, to pluck it out of us, to pull it out and to cast it away. You said in your word that we could put the enemy up underneath our foot. So we declare and decree today that no matter what happens, we will trust in you. We will have faith in you. We will bind up our fears and admit them and run to the roar. Give us the strength. So, Father God, now as your anointing falls all over this place, give strength to the woman over here whose hip is bothering her, and give strength to the couple that is going through. Give strength to the young family that doesn't know how they're going to change jobs and move away from here. Give strength to all the business people who come every day and open the doors to their business. Let them know that you have not forgotten them and that their hope is in Jesus. We claim it and we receive it in Jesus' name. Everyone in agreement said, amen.